Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now. Major Spoilers theme song.
The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air. On the air. The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air. On the air. Podcast.
Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven. If you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast.
The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Major Spoilers podcast. It is a general chat show. It's always so
general
glad
chat
to have you here with us this week. We've been talking in the pre-show. If you listen to that, we were talking about... I don't know, a bunch of stuff. Go check it out over there at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Matthew, Batwoman and the Legion, Legends of Tomorrow have been canceled at the CW, along with Supergirl canceled last season. And also before that, we had Black Lightning canceled. Arrow ended after 10 years, and yet The Flash must still go on. I hear a song, a Titanic song being played every time when we say The Flash must go on.
Black Lightning and Supergirl both knew they were going out, though. They both wrapped up and they had a close. Batwoman and Legends both ended with sequel hooks. Mm. Batwoman actually had a whole arc where her brother turned into a Joker, which is a bummer because I kind of wanted to see where that nonsense was going. And Legends of Tomorrow actually ended on a big cliffhanger where everybody was like, you know, kind of thrown around. I feel like the Batwoman ending was designed to where it could be closure. I mean, it could be the end of things and everything's fine, but I feel like the Legends people were definitely betting on renewal. So that's kind of a bummer to me.
I guess the Legends, I mean, the Batwoman stuff, I don't know what the ratings were. I've not looked up any ratings on any of these things. As far as the ratings or the show.
The ratings on Batwoman were particularly, because I remember when they renewed it for season three, people were like, well, why are they renewing it? They've canceled shows with higher ratings. And I'm just like, well, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what, you know, as the ratings were going, but it seems to make sense that if your shows are going down and you're looking to be sold off and you've got a big merger going on, it's time to cut a bunch of things loose. I also get the feeling that they were trying to make Fetch happen as much as they could. And once they realized that they had to cancel Supergirl and Black Lightning, that it was probably pretty inevitable that these other two were probably going to go away. Legends, though, always seems to be one of those shows that was canceled and then brought back and canceled and brought back and canceled and brought back and retooled and everything. So it's not surprising that that one's going to go away because, quite honestly,
Legends
when they started,
has never been canceled.
No. What I'm saying is it's always felt like it was canceled and being brought back because it was like, okay, we're going from full seasons to now we're going to just have a season in the spring. And now we're only going to have a season during this time. And so I think that made it very hard for its audience to find it and to find new audience. So that one also doesn't surprise me that it's going away.
Yeah. Does that make The Flash the last of the, what do people call
it? No,
this?
Because they have Stargirl and they have and Naomi. Yeah.
Okay.
And Superman and Lois is still running.
Yeah.
Right.
So they still have stuff, but of the OG four, this is the last one of that.
Well, Supergirl, I know, went out on their own terms. They were not canceled. Melissa just didn't want to come back. I don't know how Black Lightning ended. So, I think you could make the argument that this is the first Arrowverse cancellation. I mean, Arrow ended, Black Lightning ended. This is like, no, you guys, you're just not coming back. So I'm wondering, you know, honestly, when it came to the big crossover gimmicks, I think we enjoyed them. I feel like, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths worked kind of okay. Crisis on Earth X worked really well. You know, previous crossover bits were really exciting, but it also came to a point where you're just like, I feel like they felt like they had to raise the stakes and they had to keep upping the stakes. And finally, it came to a point where we can't up the stakes anymore because legally we shoot in Vancouver and we can't bring a bunch of people in for a crossover. So I'm wondering, did the lack of crossover in that last season have something to do with the lower
Batwoman? I wouldn't buy that. I would just say
Batwoman season one got a pretty good bump out of the crossover with
Supergirl. Yeah, but they also, so a couple of things in your theory. So number one, after three seasons, everybody gets renegotiated on their contracts and you usually have to pay people a lot more. So you're at the end of season three for Batwoman. Yeah, it's time for everybody to go with its low ratings because they're not going to renegotiate higher pay for any of those actors on a low rated show. You had a totally different Batwoman in the first season, which I think, what was her name? Ruby Rose. I think
her exit is what I thought would kill that show.
Yeah. Well, she was the attractor for that show.
Yeah.
She was the attractor for that show. So I think when she exited, I think that also caused a great deal of harm. So, you know, they're gone and the Flash remains, unfortunately. So.
You are so cynical.
You guys don't like the Flash anymore?
It's gone way downhill.
It's not been the best season. And last season
was not very good either. And the season before that was not very good. The last three seasons have not been good for the Flash. And, you know, Candace Patton is not coming back next season. Jesse Martin is going to be have an even greater reduced role. Cisco's already gone. Danielle Panabaker.
The Candace news anywhere?
No, but I'm the way that she did her final Instagram post on that. That's the end of whatever she said. That's the end of Iris West Allen. Seemed pretty finite to me. So, unlike Danielle Panabaker, who was like, "Oh yeah, can't wait to be back next season. See you, everybody." Everybody else was like, everybody who's returning all had positive things to say. Oh, I'll be back for next season. She didn't. So I think you can read between the lines on that. But yeah, no, the show has just, and I postulated a theory last week on our flashback show that they have compressed the greatest stories of the Flash into each season. And because of that, they are out of iconic Flash stories to use.
Sure.
And so they're kind of running on steam and running on more recent storylines, like storylines within the last 5 years that number one, weren't very good. And number two, didn't have the attraction or the appeal of some of the other great DC Flash stories. And so I think that also hurts. It's not Crisis on Infinite Earths.
True classics.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And so I think that that's probably part of it too. Plus they just make some dumb writing mistakes in that show.
What would you pitch?
Matthew's heard this already. Here's how you fix the CW DC shows.
Okay.
The Flash becomes the Brave and the Bold with the Flash instead of Batman. And so you've got 3 to 5 episode arcs where Flash teams up with Supergirl. So you get to bring Supergirl in for an arc. You bring in Batwoman for an arc. You bring in the Legends for an arc. And then that way everything stays together. And so
how long is an arc?
Well, so was it last year or 2 years ago, Matthew, they said that they were going to start telling their stories in trade paperback form, meaning six episodes is basically an arc. Although I think this one that's going on now is going to top out at 7.
And how many episodes in a season?
23, something 20-ish. Like that.
I think there were 18 last year, like 20-ish. Okay.
So you end up with a couple of 6-issue arcs and a couple of one-standers. Yeah.
Okay.
And you can make them shorter. You could do 3-issue things, episode things. But I think, you know, do some team-up stuff and make it that kind of fun. Really kind of shake things up that way.
That would be one way to take all the people that are going to be otherwise drifting away from Legends of Tomorrow and... Batwoman and Supergirl and Black Lightning, which, you know, has already happened, and bring them back into watching The Flash. If you're like, okay, hey, I don't know, Victor Garber's in this one. I literally don't know any of the people on.
Yeah. Well, the guy
is Rory from Doctor Who still in Legends of Tomorrow?
No. No, okay. He left in season two, I think.
Then never mind.
Yeah, the only person left in Doctor Who from the beginning is the Black Canary, the White Canary, Sarah from Arrow.
Oh.
Everybody else is new.
Okay.
On the Black Lightning front, what's his name? Kress Williams?
Kress Williams.
He's on Winning Time on HBO right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he is fantastic as Haywood, the Lakers basketball player Haywood. And wow, he's really good. And he had to lose, I don't know if he lost a lot of weight, but his body type has certainly changed from his Black Lightning, very buff days to a more slender basketball player who also happens to be addicted to meth. But he has been really good in this first season of the show. So a lot of these people, unfortunately, have probably gone on to other gigs to where if you said, hey, come back and reprise your Black Lightning role, he might be go like, nah, I'm okay. I've got an HBO show now.
Difficulties or whatever, even if they wanted to do it, you know.
But I mean, they could bring in so many, you know, there was so much promise when they had Plastic Man in there. Too bad that actor, you know, crapped his career out the door.
Elongated man.
But it, you know, even that had potential to do some of those, you know, let's do a crossover kind of story, or let's, you know, tell this story featuring these heroes instead of these people. But it, unfortunately, Flash has become too melodrama, soap opera ish, which, you know, by itself isn't a bad thing. But when you come off of shows that were high impact action with a little bit of romance to a lot of romance and a little bit of action, it kind of soured it, I think, for a lot of people.
I mean,
somebody posted, I think, in Discord, some YouTube video of how fans have reacted to The Flash over the years, where at first when it was on, everybody was like, yeah. And then today everyone's like,
yeah. I mean, that's kind of what has always kept me away from this, like the CW superhero shows.
Yeah.
It's that, like, I look at them and I'm like, this is a superhero show shot for television.
Right.
Which means there's going to be a lot more talking. There's going to be a lot more, like relationshipy stuff. And although I like that fine with superheroes, that stuff tends to bog it down. And I've been carrying this forever, right? Ever since I caught an episode of like the old Superboy series,
right? Way back in the day, the 90s.
Yeah, or probably even before that, if. I mean, before Smallville. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's
the 94
Superboy. When I was like a kid watching that. And I probably also randomly caught at some point an episode of like the old Shazam series, you know, and it's like, or Captain Marvel back in those days. It's like, it just always feels like I'm watching these shows, and a lot of the time it feels like they are just straining against their sets, their budgets. Mm-hmm. They're like the setup, like they are set up like TV shows, and a lot of the time feels like they fall short when like the superheroing needs to happen, right? It's something that I felt the Marvel Netflix shows were able to go beyond, right? When you get into like premium cable budgets,
Then
you can actually start doing other stuff with them. But
right.
All of these CW shows, I watch them and it like I'm looking at them and I'm like, this feels like a soap opera. And somebody puts a superhero costume and I'm like, why is that soap opera guy putting off a superhero costume? That's stupid.
Yeah. So in the beginning, and I know in the early seasons of The Flash, they had a $3 million per episode budget. And it kind of showed. It felt like they were trying some things. In fact, they were so concerned about doing the special effects right that that there was a whole thing dealing with Gorilla Grodd that they actually had to delay the show's release for a couple of weeks because they needed to finish rendering the effects for the Grodd stuff. It's really weird that the show has kind of really dialed down the special effects budget and that stuff in favor of more office romance stuff. Yeah. I was trying to find out what the budget was for the Daredevil per episode budget or the overall budget.
$9.
I think it's probably a little bit more than that.
$97.
Shows like since eight. Oh, wow. Since eight. Oh, the Marco Polo series had $90 million per season. Since eight had $108 million per season. The Get Down, which I really enjoyed the one or the first season of the show that I got to see, $120 million for the season. The Crown, $130 million per season. So there's some money being dumped into the high-end stuff. Like you said, once you go into premium cable, like I said, Williams probably wouldn't want to come back. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, all $40 million per season for eight episodes.
So $5 million an episode?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tangentially to this, I had been playing, oh, now I've forgotten the game's name. It shows you how interested I was in it. It's Ghostwire Tokyo. And I was trying to explain to someone what the relationship was between the main character and the ghost that gives the main character its powers. And I was, because the ghost is like half possessing him. Mm-hmm. And they're like, is it like a Rick Jones, Captain Marvel kind of situation? And I'm like, no. And then finally I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, it's a Firestorm. Like because they are together, they can use the powers. And it's one of them that has control of the body and the powers. And the other one is just by virtue of like being in there gives the other one powers. So I was like, oh yeah, it's a Firestorm.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the trailer for the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers?
I saw the very first one. I don't know if there's been more.
There's one that just came out. I want to say in the last couple. It is live action. It's basically Let's Roger Rabbit this thing.
Right.
But all the characters, of course, there's other Disney characters in there. Some of them are 2D animated. Some of them are 3D animated. In fact, that's a point of contention between Chip and Dale, because I forget which one has had the CGI surgery. So he can be CGI. Yeah. So he's all CGI and Chip is 2D. So it looked really weird when I first saw it. I thought it was one of those spoof trailers that you see on YouTube, but no, it's the real deal for the movie. So it could kind of do some Roger Rabbit things. Unfortunately, I think it's dialed down for a more kid audience, where Roger Rabbit was certainly not a kid audience movie.
I don't know about that.
Chip and Dale.
One of them's definitely Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it looks like Chip is John Mulaney.
Oh,
Dale is Andy Samberg. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer. Oh, that's disturbing.
Yeah. I don't know how kid friendly it is gonna be. Somebody told me that there was like a scene where like Peter Pan was like drunk.
Yeah. There's a scene in the trailer where it's like an old drunk, like remember Wolverine in the future where he's like fat and living. It's kind of like that's what
old man Peter Pan.
Yeah, that's what old man Peter Pan has turned into.
Old Pan Logan. See, I'm about multiversed out, you guys, and I feel like this is going to be like Into the Spider-Verse in Disney form, and it worries me.
Why?
Well,
I mean, it shouldn't.
Okay. What do you mean?
So what do you mean? No, I'm trying to figure out how you see this as a multiverse movie.
Yeah, it's there, like across Disney stuff.
Peter Pan is in this, right?
I mean, he makes a cameo. It feels very Roger Rabbit in its approach that these are all
Roger Rabbit was metatextual out of universe.
And that's what I think what this is doing too, because they make lots of mention to, you know, this is how we need to get these animation jobs and that kind of stuff. So I really think that they're kind of trying to do a spiritual successor to Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, it does feel very Roger Rabbit-y now that I'm looking at this trailer. I was really not interested at first, but some people whose opinions I tend to align with are getting really hyped for it. So maybe I'll give it a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always that where you're like,
yeah, right. if it's like Roger Rabbit, I'll be down for it. But I really feel like it might be too, like the whole thing in Roger Rabbit with Baby Herman was that he's this pervert. And like, they don't really disguise any of the sexual perversions that he has in that movie. And, you know, so I'm really amazed that they were able to, I don't think you could do that movie today.
No, I mean,
because Disney would sue you. They already made it.
Yeah. Now all you have to do is look at the like Simpsons, like quote unquote spoofs.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, yeah, Disney's not down with any of this stuff. Like everything that The Simpsons does with like Disney is so toothless, mm-hmm. where they used to just like haul off and just chop off Fox's head, you know, at least once a season.
There like, is just a
straight up make fun of like Rupert Murdoch.
Yep.
Like the person.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. That looks interesting. I am interested in seeing Doctor Strange, and I probably will go see that this weekend. I know I've said that I'm kind of sworn off movie theaters, but I think I'm going to go see this one. The big question that I will have, though, since I will have to see it in a crappy AMC theater, is if the ticket prices are also going to be at a premium. If some of you may remember that with Spider-Man, AMC announced after the fact that they had increased the ticket prices by $1 for Spider-Man. While the other movies that came out that week, the ticket prices remained the same. When pressed at CineCon last week, the head of AMC was like, oh, I can't make forward-looking statements like that. I can't tell you if you're going to have to pay more to go see Doctor Strange than any of the other movies that are coming out that week. And I can't tell you if other movies that are not Doctor Strange or independent movies are going to have a lower ticket price. That would be, that'd be forward-looking statements, and I'm not going to do it. You're just going to have to go to the theater and see if we raise the ticket prices or not. And so it's just like, first of all, I'm not sure he understands. Well, I'm not sure the SEC forward-looking statements pertain to ticket prices in that sense, because you can always talk about price increases coming for certain things. But I have a feeling that they're definitely going to kick the ticket prices up on Doctor Strange.
Well, and you know, on the one hand, from the perspective of, hey, you know, the industry is not making as much money as it used to be and blah, 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 and people are suffering. I can definitely see that. But there's also that question of,
oh, no, it's not an issue of the industry is not making any more money. So we have to jack up ticket prices to cover the cost. That's totally not the case. This is just AMC, because they are no longer in debt. The shenanigans with the stock market during the pandemic knocked them out of debt like overnight. This is simply them saying, we think premium movies need to have premium prices, and you can either see it or don't. But just like the gas prices that are going up, you need to drive to work. So I guess you're going to have to pay what we're charging per gallon. So that's,
please
that's
come back to the movie theaters, please. Oh, you're back. Well, you got to pay double now, suckers. Yeah.
I will be very interested to see if they take that price up more than a dollar. If I would not be surprised if they took that up to $5. Now, I'll probably be wrong on that. They'll probably keep it at a dollar to see how long they can keep, you know, that scheme going. But yeah, I'm not a fan of that. What were you saying, Matthew?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Okay. Free comic book day this weekend. Who's going to go get some free comic books?
I don't have a local comic store that I'm willing to go to anymore. So,
well, if you are going to get free comics, there is a color code that apparently they've been using for a couple of years, but no one's been paying attention. So they're really stressing that, hey, pay attention to the color code on the comic, because we no longer put mature readers. We no longer put 14 plus. We no longer put all ages. It's color coded. And that's how you know whether it's green for all ages, blue for teen and above, and red stripes for adult oriented content. So, mm-hmm. or mature content, I shouldn't say adult oriented, mature right, content. Right. So if you're going out and getting some free comics this weekend, make sure you're paying attention to the color stripe, and don't give your kid something that has a red stripe on it. Although there's only four red stripe comics, this year, and they're not they're not that bad. The four red stripes are Blade Runner 2019 from Titan Comics. There's a Norse mythology from Dark Horse Comics. Manhwa contemporary Korean comics from Drawn and Quarterly. And of course, the one that is definitely a should be on the mature list, The Boys number one from Dynamite.
Right.
Should all be. Those are the red striped.
It should be on a number of lists.
Yes. Yes, a number of lists. Yeah, so just be aware of that. If you go out, look at the covers, flip through it, see if there's anything that you think would offend you as a parent if you're going out with your kids. And if you're a comic store owner, also pay attention to the stripes as you're handing comics out to kids. Don't give Blade Runner 2019 to a 10-year-old. You're going to get in trouble. So there you go. Let's see. What else? Oh, did you see, Matthew, the Weird Al trailer that dropped today?
Yes, I'm like almost psyched about this. It's kind of weirding me out because Daniel Radcliffe, man,
he's a good actor.
I'm very tempted to see his other movie.
He's like a
deep nerd too. Somebody was like, "Hey, did you see this?" And they linked me to him singing a Tom Lehrer song by memory, and they're like, "Look, he is one of us geeks." And I'm like, well, I'm not sure necessarily that I follow, but I definitely appreciate that. But I don't want to go to it. But I also
you don't have to. You don't have to go to it because it's on a Roku. It's a Roku original, so it'll be on your Roku streaming service.
I'll have to go find it. Do I have a Roku streaming service?
I thought you said you're the one that has the Roku.
I think my wife has the Roku, but
well, see, there you go.
Somebody in the family has a Roku.
I'm curious why you say you feel like you have to watch it.
I meant have to in the sense of I feel like I'm definitely at some point going to sit down and watch it because I am a huge fan of Al. Not have to in any type of obligation because I tend to avoid things that feel like an obligation.
That whole obligation thing, and I know we've talked about this before, but it still continues to rear its weird, ugly head. We are so inundated with cool pop culture content these days that there is no obligation to go and see something that doesn't appeal to you. And I know that and I'm not saying that you are, Matthew, in this way, but I still feel like there are people out there that are like, listen, man, there's a Doctor Strange movie that's coming out this weekend and you have to go and see it if you're a comic book fan. It's like, no, I really don't have to. I mean, I wanted to go see Spider-Man, but I didn't see Spider-Man until it came out on digital. I waited that long because I didn't have to go to the theater to see it because I know they're going to keep cranking out Spider-Man movies. I know that they're going to keep cranking out Marvel movies. I know we're going to continue to see Star Wars shows. Oh, yeah. May the 4th this tomorrow, Matthew. Happy May the 4th be with you. So I don't have to participate in that stuff if I choose not to. And I think that's what makes things awesome nowadays. Is that we have access to that stuff.
And I was having a discussion today with, and it's one of those moments where I have geek moments at work and my coworkers as a whole are like, what a weird geek moment. But two people geek out with me. One of them is the overnight lady who is this weird gun nut who's just awesome and like goes canoeing on the weekends. And she's like, yes, Spider-Man. And the other one is like a 33-year-old mom. And today I was looking at Miles Morales's cool new costume. And she was literally like, is that Miles? Oh my God. So, you know, I really appreciate just having those nerd moments and being able to pick and choose and say, hey, this is really my jam and have people go, yeah, it's not necessarily a thing of I have to watch, like Dick Tracy. I feel like back in the day when we were young, Stephen and I really felt like we had to watch Dick Tracy in order to ever get more Batman.
God,
I don't know if you remember Dick Tracy, Rodrigo, but
I do.
Dick Tracy was treated by literally everyone in the reviewing public as a sequel to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And you could not escape these comparisons. And yeah, I mean, it's an okay movie. It's got like 900 people in it.
Talk about premium ticket prices. I paid $20 to see Dick Tracy, and I really wanted my money back. If I hadn't paid $20, I would have left halfway through that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
What year did we start doing this show?
2008.
Do you remember, Steven?
2008.
Okay.
So the timeline works out for what I was thinking. I've been in a comic book podcast since 2008. Mm-hmm. And wait, have you been very early on?
Have you been in a comic book podcast longer than you have been not in a comic book podcast?
No, not
okay.
quite.
Okay. All right. I was worried me there for just a minute.
No. But let me, I think it's my wife's tablet. I'm sorry about that. Mm-hmm. The very first movie, so as like comic book stuff was coming out and movies were coming out, I was like, I need to see that because people are going to ask me about it, or we're going to have to do the show about it or whatever. The very first movie where I was like, nah, was X-Men Origins Wolverine. And I didn't go see X-Men Origins Wolverine, and nothing happened.
Well, fortunately, like, no one else saw that movie either. So
yeah, there was, and that's it. I think X-Men Origins Wolverine was actually an early tipping point in mm-hmm. which at first all of us nerds were like, we have to watch the Spider-Man ones and we have to watch the X-Men ones. Oh, the new Marvel stuff's coming out, Iron Man and the Hulk, and we got to watch all of this. And like X-Men Origins Wolverine comes out and people are like, nah, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I need to watch that. It's, you know, just like this, this moment in that was like the first moment in which we felt, hey, there's actually enough superhero media that we don't need to sort of like artificially inflate it.
Right. Right.
To make sure that it keeps going. It has its own inertia now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot different than, let's say, like Loki, right? Or the first season of The Mandalorian, where it's like, this is really good shows, guys, or even WandaVision. You know, this is really good stuff. You sure. should be watching it because it's really, really good. Now, that's not mm-hmm. saying that you have to watch it, but you should watch it because it's really, really good. But at the same time, if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
But I think that obligation's back, not for us, because we are, you know, we've got lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the people that come to this show know that they're going to get some amount of stuff that they like, some stuff they've never heard of. And maybe that's even part of the appeal. Hmm. But I think for a lot of people out there that got into the MCU, they do feel like they have to watch everything. Yeah. Like they don't want to, because everything's connected, they sure. don't want to miss anything. You know, I didn't go see Spider-Man, and I know that I need to see Spider-Man before I see Doctor Strange, so I'm also not going to go see Doctor Strange in the theaters unless Spider-Man comes out.
Yeah. Spider-Man's streaming. Already out. Spider-Man's already out.
Is it already out?
Yeah, it was last month.
Okay, well, never mind.
So you can sit down tomorrow and watch Spider-Man, Rodrigo, and then on Friday, go and see the movie.
I'll watch it after I put myself through Moon Knight.
are you not liking Moon Knight? Oh, we'll come back to Moon Knight in a minute, but go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matthew.
Somebody today had tweeted, before you go see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, make sure you watch two episodes of Agents
I think that
of
person,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think that person was joking. I think that person was
I
joking
hope
around.
So. But it was one of those things
But at the same time, we know from the trailers that if you haven't watched the first episode of What If, you're going to be completely confused when Peggy Carter shows up. And if you haven't watched Loki, you're going to be really confused about the multiverse and the timeline. So those two things are given. But one episode or two episodes of season 6 of a show that people were tired of, talking about a show that overstayed its welcome, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe it will. And that might be a nice nod for those people that really watched it. But is it going to be a major plot point? I don't think so.
Hmm. Are they using the same Black Bolt that they used on television, or do we even know?
I don't even think Black Bolt's in it unless he's part of the Illuminati. But apparently spoiler alert, everybody, the Illuminati is I believe a post-credit sequence.
That makes sense.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So it's like,
I mean, it's the center of all of the trailers that I've seen recently.
Yeah. But I think it's a post-credit sequence because of, I don't know. It may not be. That's what one person said.
If that's the case, I'm like, thank God.
I mean, if you really want to know where everything falls, again, I know our show and our podcast and everything, the site is called Major Spoilers. But Variety put out their review of Doctor Strange today, and they didn't hold back on any of the spoilers. They just go right through.
Snap.
And Yeah, well, the embargo's lifted yesterday, I guess. And so, yeah, it goes through everything. So, I mean, it doesn't go through everything exactly, but you get a pretty good idea of what's going on from this thing. But yeah, somebody had mentioned that it was a post-credit sequence. That may be wrong, but yeah. And the reason why they're saying, hey, you need to watch, you know, the 90s X-Men series is because Professor X is in his yellow yellow floating wheelchair. But again, that's all stuff that you see from the trailer. So yeah, I'm kind of excited about it, but I think that, so Scott Johnson is the one that, Brian Ibbett and I have been continually trying to harass him to watch Loki, not because he has to watch Loki, but because Loki was really good and really fun. And same way with What If.
Be into it.
Yeah. And he would be into it, but he's like, nah, I haven't watched it yet. And I think it's gotten to the point where we have, harassed him enough.
Yeah, it's like
to watch it to where now he's like, nope, I'm definitely not going to watch it on principle. but then again, when we were talking this week and I said, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure you need to watch Loki and for sure the What If episode with Peggy Carter in order to, you know, maybe not understand what's going on, well, maybe appreciate
and
what's going on.
And for sure, WandaVision.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right? WandaVision
the,
too. But
the trailers
yeah.
aren't to be believed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, definitely WandaVision. And yeah, the Variety article spells it out that yes, there's a whole bit where Wanda and her kids are reunited and it feels so good.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. And then there's, you know, Bruce Campbell, which maybe Bruce Campbell is going to play the Iron Man.
Oh, character. That's right. Because this is a Sam Raimi
joint. Sam Raimi joint. And I was like, okay, let me just see, you know, if everything has
that,
been.
That I'm kind of excited about. Seeing Raimi back on superheroes feels exciting.
So I decided yesterday or today that once everybody was going to start spoiling stuff, even though they shouldn't be doing it, you know, before the movie comes out, I saw that Bruce Campbell was in the movie. And I was like, ooh, I wonder who he's going to play. If he's going to play just a low-key character, not low-key character, but or if they're going to give him something that has some bite to it. And then I thought, you know, with all this controversy around, is there going to be a multiverse Tony Stark that shows up and whether it will be Tom Cruise or not? I thought, man, wouldn't that be cool if Bruce Campbell showed up as Tony Stark in that movie? So
I'm hoping they actually do the silly thing that apparently Raimi was wanting to do in Spider-Man 4.
Which was what?
Well, the hint was that he wanted to make a narrative connection between the characters that Bruce played in Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
Nice.
And have it be something that made sense in an in-universe context, which I'm totally down for. But I think at one point the discussion he said was something about having him actually having been playing Mysterio all along.
Nice.
Yeah. Or the chameleon would be interesting too.
Yeah, the chameleon. Although he's being the same guy, so maybe not so much. I was just like, yeah, my first thought was like, it would have been fun if it was, but, although the X-Men were obviously controlled by someone else at the time. But I was like, it would have been fun if that was like a bunch of dupes from from Madrox or whatever. Yeah.
That would be fun.
There is.
He calls them, right? Dupes.
Yeah, his duplicates. Yeah.
If you watch again, if you go on YouTube, maybe it was a Twitter feed somebody posted. Again, this is all so people are like, you're spoiling the movie. We're not spoiling anything. We are number one speculating based on what we have seen in a trailer, and the trailer is freely available and multiple trailers have been out for months now. They're apparently in one of the scenes where Doctor Strange is fighting Grimmadon or whatever the octopus guy is.
Grimmagorath,
yes.
Grimmagorath.
The way that they edit it and the way that they have, there's an extra that's running through the scene. And it's like every time they cut, this guy is in the wrong place where he's not supposed to be from the master shot. And they're like, look, Madrox is in the Doctor Strange movie. And they keep showing this clip of this guy, this edit of this guy running through the scene. And he's like, that's there's great. Number one, there's number two, there's number three. So
yeah, I didn't see the joke, but I did see someone pointing out that, yeah, there's like this weird error. And it's like, well, I guess Doctor Strange lost his ability to time travel, so they can't.
They can't
blame that.
On
that.
Yeah. Rodrigo, you said you're having trouble with the Moon Knight.
Yeah, it just kind of seems to get a little bit less interesting every time.
Really?
There was kind of It's like it starts out with this mystery, and obviously the mystery is big and open, but I feel like the more I find out, the less interested I am in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You just randomly have characters who have animals for heads, and I am interested because I like that. Visually, mm-hmm. I like that. And visually, it's pretty good. You know, mm-hmm. I like the special effects. I like the, you know, we see like monsters and we see Egyptian gods and we see all this stuff and it's fun. But yeah, it's like the more the world gets fleshed out, mm-hmm. the less interested I am in it. And I can't quite say why, other than, I don't know, maybe it feels a little tropey.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But, which can be good. I just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, it's not Oscar Isaac. It's not,
Oscar Isaac.
It's not Oscar Isaac or the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a great job. Most of the time it's just basically the two of them just mm-hmm. acting super hard around like tennis balls, I imagine. And you know, they're doing a great job. But yeah, just something about the story just gets less interesting for me every time.
I kind of have the opposite approach. As the show has gone on, I've gotten more into it. Like the first two episodes, I was like, I don't know, guys, I'm not sure that this is a show that I'm going to continue. But, you know, I'm kind of already into the first two episodes. I'll watch episode three. And then we got to episode four, which was like the whole Raiders of the Lost Ark pastiche. And I was like, mm-hmm. this is really interesting what they're doing. And then they sure. turned it into Legion. And I was like, okay, where are we going with this? And then the episode five was just a, in my opinion, a premier display of acting by Oscar Isaac, just in his ability to flip back and forth between Stephen and Mark in a shot, you know, and you can physically see his body change, how he presents himself very much like Superman. Well, I was going to say Superman in the pages of the Grant Morrison Quietly stuff, where
Superman.
Yeah, the Quietly Superman, where he moves his body just a little bit, and you can tell, oh, he's now this very meek person versus this very aggressive person. I thought was very fascinating. And then, of course, I fell in love with the hippo goddess in episode 4 and 5. I just thought was fantastic. Sure. But episode 5 kind of maybe peeled back the curtain a little bit on how Marvel is doing their TV shows. Mm-hmm. And I think their formula is, here's a character who's gone through a horrible tragedy, who has made a horrible mistake, and is now trying to make amends for that. And sure. that happened in WandaVision, right? It happened mm-hmm. To a lesser extent in Falcon and Winter Soldier, because it wasn't Falcon or Winter Soldier that had the horrible tragedy. I mean, they both did, but it was right. the Flag Smasher.
There's some amount of like redemption for for Bucky, but
you had the whole Flag Smasher arc, which was pretty much the exact same thing as, you know, here's a character that's gone through terrible tragedy, who's made an incredible mistake, and now they have to atone for their actions. And we're seeing that here with Moon Knight. Again, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen episode 5, where we find out where Stephen and Mark, where Stephen comes from, and the horrible tragedy that created Stephen, and now he's trying to atone for everything that has happened since then. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, I think this is the formula that they're using for all of these shows. To a lesser extent, Loki is the exact same way, where mm-hmm. not only is it one Loki who has done something terrible and trying to atone, it's an infinite multiverse of Lokis that are trying to atone for what they have done. And so I honestly think that's the formula, or maybe it's just a formula that they've been using this entire time. And I'm just, you know, for all of their Marvel stuff. But it seems to be one that works out really, really well in the show. So for me, I've been enjoying Moon Knight. I want to see how it ends, because this week is the final episode of the show. And I don't know how they're going to end it, considering how they left it in episode 5.
Oh, they're going to end it with a sequel hook.
I think that's my guess, is that it's like, come back for season 2. And we're going to leave you with a big hook. But secretly, I think they've already filmed season 2. They filmed it at the same time as they did season 1, because Oscar Isaac's time is very precious. And so, yes, it is speculation, but I'm going to guess that they've already shot season 2. They swore everyone to secrecy. And so when this one ends on a cliffhanger, they can say, come back in October or whenever for part 2 of or season 2 of Moon Knight.
Episode 5 is the one that really hit me with the dissonance for a weird reason. Because in episode four, I actually was drifting off and kind of falling asleep during bits and pieces of it. But I was just kind of, you know, I have this problem with Moon Knight, and it's a problem that I don't know that anybody else or that many people are going to have, in that I keep seeing little things like episode five, of course. I don't want to give away a major plot point, but part of the story involves sitting Shiva. And they're talking about this, and Mark says, yes, it was at the Shiva. And I'm like, oh, cool. And of course, you know, I had noticed in episode one or two, Mark has a mezuzah over the door. And you do see occasionally he's wearing a Magen David around his neck. And all of this, you know, if you are someone who, or even if you're someone who has just a vague knowledge of these symbols, you know that this is the indication that Moon Knight, Mark Spector, is meant to be a Jewish character. And on the one hand, I'm like, I appreciate the subtlety. But they, it, you know, even with the thing and talking about sitting Shiva, I feel like, is it too subtle? Should, you know, I'm at that point where I feel like part of me wants them to really bring that out, to call this out at some level. And then, you know, part of me from a storytelling standpoint goes, the subtlety is good. It shouldn't be something that, you know, we're hooking the whole focus of the character around, but also it's kind of a big deal. And I don't know. I'm having that back and forth throughout episode five.
I'm having it too. I sat down and I was like, okay, where are we at on Latinx representation? And of course it's like, I'm like, how is it possible that we're like, hey, we want Latino people that aren't aliens, please. And then we get kind of back to back two Latinx characters who both have multiple, quote unquote, multiple personality disorders.
Right.
And it's like, how did this just happen to happen? And I do think that it just happened to happen. It's not like a stereotype. It's like, oh,
right.
Look at Rodrigo over there. I call him Pancho, not because I'm racist, but because there's always like two or three of them. And I was like, no. But I'm like, I'm just so sad that these characters are actually kind of weirdly contaminated by that, because they obviously aren't handling. I don't even know. I don't remember what the actual condition is. And I think there are multiple conditions that get you to.
Most of what you see is dissociative identity disorder.
Right.
It's what you see in, because like Rosenthorn and Moon Knight and all of these things really, that's kind of an umbrella diagnosis term too.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. And it is. And there's lots of different, lots of different versions of it or whatever, because they're still finding out about it. They're still studying it. But I look at Moon Knight and I look at, you know, Crazy Jane or Jane, because they really dropped that out of her name real quick, which is good.
Good.
Which is good. And I'm just like, man, are these characters just going to end up in like the toxic waste bin, unfortunately, as, you know, more prominent voices in mental health are like, these characters are bad, you guys. Like, these guys have a pop version of a very real neurological thing.
Ashley and I actually discussed this a couple of times on Finally Friday, where originally my concern was, you know, we're really leaning heavily onto this fictionalization of Egyptian deities. And is that that's kind of the flip side of Matthew's, I wish they would show more Jewish people or make religion a central focus of the thing. And I was like, is this more offensive to Egyptian, you know, deity religion? And the answer was basically like, probably not, because that is not probably worshipped as much as these other things. But then we did bring up the issue of do we end up creating bad tropes or bad stereotypes around people, especially people with mental disorders? And so that brought up the conversation of, look at every villain that Batman has ever fought. Every single one of them has a mental disorder or disability. Yeah. And what does Batman do with the people who have a mental disability? He beats the crap out of them. This is the same.
Them into to an asylum that holds them indefinitely to keep them away from the innocent people. I mean,
Well, or that they're supposed to be getting help. I mean, I guess it depends on what side of the coin you're looking at it. But it also goes with how do we present members of the LGBTQAI plus community, especially when you look at something like Silence of the Lambs or, you know, any movie where the person who is gay or trans or has a different sexual identity than the norm is portrayed as the villain of the piece, as the bad guy of the piece. So, yes, you're right, Rodrigo.
Either openly or just coding,
Right. You know, you're right, Rodrigo, in that you can look at the Latinx characters and say, are we creating bad stereotypes of this, or are we looking at people with a mental disorder, and are we just pop culturizing this stuff? But this stuff has been going on for years and years and years and years, and there are actual professionals, educators, researchers, et cetera, in the industry who have done. I mean, you can go to the San Diego Comic-Con if you want to do that. And they have the poster presentations and they have the scholarly side of Comic-Con. And there's usually one or two presenters each year that are talking about stigmatizing people that are not normative as the bad guy. And and so these things are things that are discussed. I just don't think that they're discussed often enough. And I think it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate side effect that we can go with the easy out of saying, well, the bad guy is a person of this color, or the bad person is a person that has a mental disorder or disability. I think that's the easy way out. Results in a lot of hand waving that maybe I kind of wish that people would reexamine maybe a little closer.
And that's my worry about Moon Knight, is that when I said that it was tropey, is that it feels like this disparate collection of tropes that, you know, maybe the writers find fun or interesting, or maybe, you know, Kevin Feige's like, we haven't done enough Egyptian stuff, so throw it in. Because I mean, I don't know every version of Moon Knight, but I know there's like four or five versions of Moon Knight. The stuff that ended up in here, no single thing that is in here needed to be in here, right? Because nobody knows who Moon Knight is. Like, there's, you know, Moon Knight was not a very popular character. There's a reason why there's six versions of Moon Knight, and it's because,
he kept being retooled to try
You have to fill volumes 1 through 6 somehow.
So. It's like one discussion that I have with people every once in a while is, you know, it's like, if you want the Steve Rogers Captain America, then that guy is white, and he's white because he comes from a very specific point in time, and there's all this stuff going on, and it makes sense that he's white, but also there's this through line that says, well, the leader of the Avengers has to be a white guy, sort of. With Moon Knight, there wasn't necessarily that through line, right? They could have changed some stuff. And yet, we're doing Egyptian gods. We're freaking doing like, am I a real superhero or am I in a mental institution? Is just like, to me nowadays, like the most boring trope in the world. Like, they're doing okay with it. Like, they're showing us showing it to us in a good way, but ever since Sarah Connor held like that big syringe to somebody's neck, I'm like, yep, this trope is over. Right.
We've seen it before. I mean, they did an entire Buffy episode that defanged it and inverted it and pointed out the ridiculousness of it. And that's kind of the point, I think, of Moon Knight on television is, they are, you know, Steven pointed out either in this discussion or the pre-show discussion about how 9 seasons of Flash have kind of skimmed the cream of the Flash stories. That's kind of what they're doing with Moon Knight, is they're skimming the cream of 6 different eras of Moon Knight and putting it all together. And because it's a character who, you know, has dissociative identity disorder, you can put that and say, oh, well, this is part and parcel of it, but you also have to look at how many times do we see this trope. Hank Pym, became Yellow Jacket, had a psychotic break, flipped out. Bruce Banner has at least six multiple personalities. Aurora is a nun who is incredibly restrained and, you know, it contained until she breaks out and becomes her superhero personality, who's this libertine. Norman Osborn's Green Goblin identity talks to him throughout every, I mean, you could go through it, literally, you could do a list of, I don't know, things, 10 things of people who have this bad take on a real mental illness. But you'd also come to a point where it's kind of depressing when you actually break down and look at, like, Harvey Dent has two specific alters. And because of these alters, he's literally, you know, punched in the face and thrown in a box. I feel like using those as shorthand, using, you know, mental illness, the C word, as shorthand for evil, is a trope as old as comic books itself.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. It's been around forever. It just more people need to be talking about
The and Moon Knight is trying to make it a hero thing. They're trying to take take a little bit of curse off it by saying, here's the hero. He's the guy that we identify with, and he's living with this. And
but you could also argue that Legion tried to do that as well. I think
Legion probably did it better. Honestly.
But that also goes back to, I know we've kind of switched over to the mental aspect of it, but that also goes back to what I was saying about they found this formula. That they found this formula for how do they tell these really interesting Marvel television series where you have a character who's made a horrible mistake, is trying to fix it and has to atone. That then also becomes a crutch for storytelling of, well, here's what worked in WandaVision. Let's do it again in Loki. Let's do it again in Moon Knight. Let's do it again in all these things. And I'm not saying, I mean, that's actually a really interesting story premise to go through those very specific things. But, you know, while I find it great so far in what they've done, once you see it, you're not going to be able to unsee these things. And so that may ruin future shows that they put out because they're still following that same thing. And so the same way when you're dealing with Batman punching someone who has a genuine disorder and saying that those guys are the bad guys, I think the same thing happens in the storytelling method. And so that's something that I don't know we're going to get away from because it is that easy out for everything. And I'm sure that they and the thing is they don't, at least with the Batman villains, they say that there's something wrong with them and that's why they have to go to the Arkham Hospital or the Arkham Asylum. But they don't make a big deal out of, well, you know, the Riddler has an obsessive compulsive disorder and that's why he's doing these things. Maybe we need to, stop his crime by dealing with his obsessive compulsive disorder. That doesn't make for an interesting comic, but hey, here's this guy that has an obsessive compulsive disorder. He can't stop telling me where he's going to go do his next crime. So let me get there first and punch him in the face. That's the exciting part. So that's, I don't know. It's very complicated and we are not people that.
We're not qualified to analyze it as a thing, but
I mean, we can certainly critique it and talk about it, but we can't go into,
we can't go into the specifics and say this is a wrong way to portray this. The correct way would be this. Like we don't know that much.
But
we're just worried. We just watch this and we worry.
Yeah.
And I think that we can definitely say that these things are troublesome because you get to a point where Moon Knight may be the first time we've seen it, in film, in a high profile, Marvel project, but you do get to a point where you come to a Heroes in Crisis moment. And Heroes in Crisis was a 7-issue limited series where the premise was superheroes get PTSD too, y'all. Sure. And at that point, I said to myself, okay, what is this story with that premise statement, with that thesis? What is this story going to tell me? And the story didn't do anything. And it didn't go anywhere. And it was literally just restating that thesis over and over every issue. Here's a guy who, terrible things happen to him. And it's come to, a point where I feel like Steven's prediction is absolutely correct. We're going to start seeing this come up as, kind of a hat to wear. Your character, even more so than it is already, but your character has this particular You know, in gaming terms, you use a quirk to buy a power.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Let's take this over to My Hero Academia. You have a quirk.
Yep.
Everybody has a quirk. Some people is just going to manifest a little bit differently. Some will have a mental. Some will have something else. So.
Right. Yeah. And you know what I really hate about Moon Knight? It's just one thing that I hate. It's a little tiny thing. They're not printing Spider-Ham anymore. So we can't have Mark Spector be a cow called Moon Knight.
Nice.
Yes. Moon Knight. And his name would be a Mark. I don't know. What's a good.
You don't know. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness comes out this week. And then we also have two Spider-Men across
Spider-Verses. Yeah,
Spider-Verse movies coming up. You don't know that Moon Knight is not going to make an appearance.
Moon Knight. Also, Cindy Moon should be Silkworm in the Spider-Ham universe. Yeah. See, I can do this all day.
But we won't. We're actually going to end the show right there. Thank you everybody for downloading and checking us out. You can join these conversations and more over on our Discord server. You can join the Major Spoilers Discord server for free. There is a link in the show notes, and we would love to see you join our growing community of awesome spoilerites. Again, link in the show notes. Also, thank you to everyone who supported this show and all the shows in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. This week, huge thanks to Drew, who's our newest silver level patron, and to Fighting Gobbler, who just increased their yearly pledge. Holy crap, did they increase their yearly pledge? Thank you so much for that. If you want to get a shout out on the show, we want to give you one. All you need to do is join us on our Patreon page at patreon.com/majorspoilers. General chat, if you like this stuff, go check out the pre-show. It contains even more of these deep thoughts. And until next time, remember, we know that you love comics and we do too. And we will talk with you soon.
Fat the X-ray vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I bag and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Start raving, it's like a man of iron. Might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, be in the middle race with a gang sign throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler, whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.